Welcome to the In Between Podcast, a show for women navigating the space between where they are and where they want to be.
This is your go-to holistic business podcast where we dive into strategies, mindset, habits, and of course, making a meaningful income so you can live your dream life.
I'm Astrid, a multi-six-figure luxury wedding photographer and a former corporate marketing girly.
And I'm Alexis with 10 plus years in tech as a senior brand partnerships manager and business coach. Think of us as your business besties cheering you on as you level up. Let's get into it.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the In Between Podcast. This is one of your hosts, Astrid.
And the other half of the pod, Alexis. Welcome back. We are really looking forward to today's topic around maternity prep and how we are prepping for mat leave, prepping for motherhood, prepping for postpartum as well. So if this is not your cup of tea, totally understand. This might be an episode you want to skip. But we were really excited to kind of share a little bit more around ways that we're prepping mentally, ways that we're prepping our businesses, or in your case, a business, in my case, like my job at work, and then some insight into how we're prepping and thinking about postpartum care. So I'm really excited because I don't think you and I have talked in too much depth about this yet. So I know we've had like random tangential conversations about it, but not in its entirety. So it'll be fun to talk through this together. So with that, let's do life updates and in-betweens. It's been a minute since we've done life updates and in-betweens.
Yes. Well, life update. I got married. I am having a baby. We are settling into our house, which has been just really, really nice. And yeah, I ended like a really long stretch of travel. And so just finding my routines again, getting back into the gym. I was very, very sick my first trimester. So I've worked out 3 times in the past since July. But this week I'm going to double that. And so it's going to be great. And so my body's feeling really good and very excited to just move and make nourishing meals. And yeah, have a weekend off before a few other weddings. So we're going to just take it slow this weekend and maybe go to a pumpkin patch, go to the farmer's market, and just nest at home and relax.
That sounds amazing. I love the pumpkin patch. I'm like such a sucker for a pumpkin patch. Give me all the fall things. I feel like I've been dropped, transported into a Hallmark movie. I love them. They just like give me all the childhood nostalgic feels.
Yes, I agree. I haven't gone to one in like 3 or 4 years because I'm usually working all of the fall season. So I'm excited to just go and check it out and see how things are. And then it'll just be fun to imagine like what next fall will look like with a baby boy around and what to do. What do you do at a pumpkin patch with a baby? I don't know.
It'll be cute. Yeah. It'll be really cute. They'll be well dressed.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
Okay. So life updates on this side, lots of travel the last month or so, last 2 months really. And about to take my very last trip to New York for a big circle campaign that will be live by the time this episode goes out. So yeah, we are taking over Times Square and I'm really excited. The team and I have worked really hard over the last several months bringing it together, and we're doing a very customer-focused Times Square campaign. So we're flying a lot of our customers to New York, putting them up in a hotel and filming their reactions of like seeing their face and their communities represented in Times Square. So definitely like a very meaningful experience to be a part of and to plan. And I'm kind of managing all the talent, all the customers, partners, and it's been so much fun. So we'll be on 4 different billboards in and around Times Square, and the creative looks so good. Like our team killed it. They're so like, it looks so polished, but also really fun and creative. And I just can't wait to see it come to life. So I'll be in New York next week. And then we're also, because we have all of our customers in town, I was like, hey, we should double dip. We should book a studio and film customer stories with them on like how they've built their businesses. So we're doing a whole day in the studio and I'll be interviewing all of them, which will be really fun. And then I'll fly home and then I'll be taking a nap.
Yeah.
several days of just chill time. And yeah, this weekend I am planning on having a very restful slow weekend leading up to traveling to New York. So taking it very low key, Matthew is out of town in Napa celebrating his mom's birthday. And so I chose to stay home and rest just because there's been a lot of travel and I needed to, you know, it's kind of tough when you have to say no to things that you really want to do. But it was one of those things where I'm like, I cannot make all this work at the same time.
Yeah.
So Piper and I are going to cuddle and we're just going to have a very low key weekend. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm sure Piper is already so excited for her solo time with mom.
She is. She loves me so much. And I let her sleep on the bed when Matt's gone. So she's like living. She's like, oh my gosh, dad's not here. I get to be on the bed.
This is the best.
Yeah. Because I mean, honestly, we don't sleep the best when she's on the bed. So we never usually let her sleep up there. But now he's gone. He's got the whole other side of the king size bed. Piper's like, I'm in heaven.
She's a queen.
Okay, I know that you and I both have a lot of in-betweens right now, but what are you in between right now that you would like to share on the pod? And if you're new to the pod, we always share typically what we're in between, whether that's in life, in our careers, in our relationships, because we believe that you are always in between something. So
So many to choose from. I would say the one that comes top of mind and that it also relates to today's episode is just really focusing on prepping the business for maternity leave and then also planning like, okay, what does it look like to come back and then work July through December? Would I would normally take in a year, now I'm taking in 6 months? Or are we okay financially taking half of that? Like, what does that look like? And just trying to guess where my body might be at as well. It's kind of hard to plan for something when you don't know what your body is going to do, but also totally. It's your livelihood and you have to be on your feet and it's very physically demanding as well. And I'll be breastfeeding hopefully. So so just kind of thinking through a lot of those things and giving it some time and space to digest and not putting any pressure, but in between making some of those decisions, in between prepping my team for it, and just overall feeling very grateful that the business works so far out as well, because now I'm booking quite a bit of 2027. So that's helpful for finances and prepping for maternity. And at the same time, having to think that far out, for like, okay, what's going to be important to me then? So for example, I don't really celebrate Halloween or do much for Halloween. But then I had an inquiry for a Halloween wedding. I was like, oh, cool place, cool couple. Great. Yeah. I was like, I feel like I'm missing something. I was like, oh my gosh, my child's going to be needing me to dress up. And I want to be there for him too. And I want to have that experience with him. So that was like a cool or an important reality check of, hey, let's look at the calendar for the year. What do we need to block off intentionally now that there's a baby that I really want to be there for? So yeah, just in between adjusting my schedule and my business to being a mom.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. And yeah, it is that like, oh yeah, I can do that. And then you're like, oh, actually, I want to do Halloween with my family. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's exciting. It's kind of like sobering in a way. We're like, oh, okay, these are the realities like becoming a mom and what I want to say yes to, what I want to say no to. That's exciting.
Yeah.
For me, I would say I am in the middle of learning how to slow down. I was sharing with Astrid a little bit before we jumped on the mic. I had a really great conversation with my doctor recently around slowing down, and she kind of has me my whole third trimester grounded, if you will. Like, she doesn't want me to leave Houston because with twins, you have a likelihood of going into preterm labor. And so being out of town, traveling, it can, you know, obviously complicate that quite significantly. So her and I had a conversation around, you know, modified rest and really focusing on keeping myself rested and hydrated. And it's been interesting because I've thankfully have had a really good pregnancy, especially my second trimester has been I could not ask for a better experience. And I've been able to travel, I've been able to go, I've been able to continue to move through life almost like I'm not pregnant, if that makes sense. And there are days where I didn't even feel pregnant today, which is like a blessing in a way. And at the same time, she's like, I know that you're a goer and you get a lot of energy from that. But the reality is this is around the time where I really need you to slow down and I need you to rest and I need you to focus on like just chilling. And as much as it's like nice to hear that of like, okay, yeah, okay, I'll like rest more. I think there's also the mental switch that I need to apply to the situation of, okay, well, I'll just keep doing a bunch of stuff around the house. I'll just keep like being busy here in Houston. And even that, she's like, I really need you to like slow down in your daily life and just really focus on resting and doing a lot of minimal things. As we're kind of encroaching into different directions my body can take with labor and all of the things. And so that was very sobering for me to realize like, okay, this is the reality of carrying twins. This is the reality of like, how do we avoid preterm labor? How do we do things in our daily life that keeps me and the kids healthy? So yeah, not that I'm just going to stop living and like stop going on a walk, but it was kind of like a wake up call for me of like, okay, after this trip to New York, we really are staying pretty like grounded and not doing a whole lot. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been interesting. I find a lot of my worth and a lot of my I feel productive. I find a lot of my energy. I don't know if I find worth. I think, let me rephrase that. I find a lot of my energy and my zest and passion for life mm-hmm. through doing things and through travel and through experiences. And so I need to rethink, where do I find that? What is that source for me now? Mm-hmm. Now that the next couple months might look differently. And I also want to stay mentally excited and mentally like strong and having good energy. And I know that staying in the house cannot give that to me at all. So just juggling how do I slow down physically while staying mentally in a good place?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I feel for you. I feel like I'm learning from you as well. I'm like, wow, that's a question that I'd never even thought to think about. And I feel the same way with getting so energized by going and doing stuff or doing stuff around the house. So how do you make that pivot over when life calls you and your body calls you to slow down? But so proud of you for the way that you always navigate those things, the way that you're always so intuitive as well with your body of like, I can do this. And also when it's time to slow down and my doctors are advising, then I'm able and willing to also stop. Not a lot of people can tap into both of those things.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see how you make that switch and what it is that you find energy in from your couch. Like, but I'm curious, like, if you're going to get even more into reading or like certain documentaries or podcast or whatever, like just, I don't know, baking.
Maybe.
I happen to want
to make some like pumpkin banana bread with some chocolate chips on top. That sounds really good. So yeah, I do like to your point, I think I need to find more low-key hobbies or the ones I do have, like just turn them up on the dial a lot more. And I think it's really easy. And I just want to mention this to anyone that's experiencing different things in life is it's easy for me to compare. And I'm like, well, so-and-so was able to work out up until they had their kid and then they, you know, postpartum was so easy for them. It's like, well, they're not experiencing what I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. Their pregnancy is different. Maybe they only had one child and I'm carrying two. And there's like so many different things that I can get in my head about with this. And it's like, okay, just because this is my experience doesn't mean that it's not valid. And also just because it was someone else's experience, that's great, but it doesn't mean that that's like the standard in which I have to hold myself to. So I've been really mindful around content I'm consuming and who I'm following and where I'm getting my sources of inspiration. And I think I'm really learning more about how important it is to find folks that are in similar situations as you. Like, I've really been leaning into like twin mom stuff on TikTok, and that's been really helpful because that's just more relative to me. So, but overall, I'm feeling the babies move every single day. They're growing, they're healthy, and everything so far has been pretty good. So that's all I have to share about that for now.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. So happy to hear the twins are doing well. And it's just so interesting to hear like people's unique journeys. That's the best part about it, is like no pregnancy is the same, no career is the same. And with that, let's talk about how we're prepping our careers and our businesses for next year and this year as we are prepping for our maternity leave. Like, there's so many different layers to that, prepping ourselves and our mindset and our bodies for such a big change in our lives, while also deciding how we want to pivot our teams or pivot our business as well to accommodate for this new big life change. And yeah, I'm so excited for this conversation. It's been so helpful for me to hear the stories of other women that have navigated this, and even within the photography industry, like how they've navigated motherhood and being business owners. And this one photographer that I follow that I really admire, she ended up like becoming the sole breadwinner for her family post having kids, because she's like, we decided that we wanted this specific kind of lifestyle and my business was just exploding, and so we went for it and like we couldn't be happier, and it looks so different than I ever imagined it. And then other, like, it's just so different for everyone. So yeah. I'm excited to dive into where we're at and what plans we have for the new year.
Yeah, me too. So we thought it might be helpful to start this conversation around like how we're preparing for motherhood as a whole, because obviously there's different hats that Astrid and I wear. Like, we're becoming moms, we're also career women. And so before we talk about the career and even some of the postpartum / maternity leave prep, I thought it might be helpful to just talk about how we're preparing for motherhood and getting our heads in that headspace. So for the first several months of being pregnant, I could not take in any information. I was like, I wasn't ready to be reading anything yet. And I think it's totally normal to go at your own pace with learning. And if you want to read books about becoming a parent or a mom, or if you want to listen to podcasts about it, like, there's no pressure there. Because I was like, oh, I need to start doing all these things. And I realized, oh, I don't have capacity for that. I don't think I would actually retain anything. And I don't think it would be helpful for me. So I would give yourself room to figure out a time where it does feel right. And you're like, okay, now I'm ready. So about a month ago, I started listening to a book called Hunt, Gather, Parent by Micheline Duclef. And she has a PhD. She's also a reporter for NPR. And this is a really interesting book if you like reading about different cultures and how, like, Western culture in America, excuse me, how we go about parenting and raising children is very, very different than other cultures in the world. And so she actually follows three like ancient cultures that are very, very old. Our culture in America is still very young, right? Mm-hmm. We're only 300 and some years old. And so she goes to these different ancient cultures and studies how moms and dads raise their kids to be helpful, to be happy, and to be part of a family. And in Western culture, mostly centers the child. So like everything typically is around what the child wants to eat, when that, like, your routine and your schedule is very child-centered. And in some of these cultures, it's more of like family centered, and the child is obviously a part of the family, but it's this unit, and you're making decisions around what's best for the unit, not always what's best for the individual child. And I'm very interested in that because Matthew and I do want to, obviously, we're going to be changing different aspects of our lives and making space for two kids at the same time. We're very excited about that. And at the same time, our personality types don't lend to let's change everything and make our entire schedule based on like the babies. So it's like trying to find the balance and integration of that. Mm-hmm. I obviously know that our schedules are going to change. Okay. I'm not naive, but as they get older, and how do you like create kind of similar to Montessori? How do you create young little kids that want to be part of a family unit and not being told to do chores and not being told to do things? They just do it because they're a part of this unit and making the unit happen. So it's been a really interesting read. I've really enjoyed it so far. It's opened my eyes to different things and different trends in Western culture that I like and trends in Western culture that I actually don't like about parenting personally. Mm-hmm. And so that's been lovely. And then I've also been reading Mother Kind. My friend Emma gifted me this book. It's from a really popular podcaster. Her name is Zoe Blasky. And yeah, she talks about the honest experiences of motherhood and how to be kind to yourself and creating a lot of compassion and empathy as you step into motherhood. And how do you basically overcome a lot of guilt and shame and insecurity around, am I doing this right? Mm-hmm. Am I doing enough? Am I like and I've heard this from moms as well. So this is what this book is about. And I'm excited to dig deeper into that. And then we're taking some classes. So our hospital that we're giving birth at in Houston, I could not be more grateful that we live in a city with such incredible healthcare. Our hospital, Women's Hospital of Texas, is a teaching hospital. So like other hospitals in the area send their patients to our hospital to take classes on how to, you know, birthing, lactation, toddler care with a newborn. Like they go through all these different classes. So we're taking a few classes through the hospital, specifically around postpartum in the hospital, like what that experience is going to look like, and then taking care of babies. And then there's another course that we're going to take called Taking Care of Babies. Have you heard of this yet on TikTok?
Someone actually told me about this course at your baby shower this past weekend. I'm trying to think who it was.
Was it Leah?
Oh, actually, it was Shannon.
Doherty.
Yes. She told me at Joe Sippers about it. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yes. So I've seen this on TikTok. It's called Taking Care of Babies. And Cara is like the name Cara, C-A-R-A. Sorry. Because that's the founder of the company. Her name's Cara. And she has lots of different courses, but there's specifically a newborn into, you know, 6 months sleep. Like how do you create schedules that allow your child to sleep so that they're getting lots of sleep through the night. And then you as the parent is getting lots of sleep through the night. And I'm like, we have two of these babies. So I'm like, I need help. There's so much I don't know about this world. So it's $100 and Matthew and I's 6-year anniversary is coming up. And so we opted for no gifts. We're going to go out for a nice dinner and then we're buying this course and we're going to take it together. But it's just a virtual course. So I'm looking forward to that. I feel like between the mindset stuff and then the actual practical like classes, courses, mm-hmm. I think I'll feel really prepared here in like 2 months.
Yeah. No, you're doing great, babe. Also, I need to know after you take that course how it is, but I've heard so many great things about it. Shannon told me about it. And then I heard some as well at the baby shower of how much it really helped with the baby's sleep. So I'm like, give me all the information. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting how everyone processes like big life changes differently. Cause for me, I feel anxious if I know there's a big life change coming and I don't have all the information. I feel like in the know and it's just going to punch me. And I literally get nervous just thinking about not having it. So for me, my experience is almost like going in phases where like the first trimester, I just wanted to soak in a lot of information from the right sources. I filtered out some of like the negative birthing experiences from my social media because I was like, I really don't want to put that in my head. But it was just interesting to just like hear different stories, hear how different women like chose to give birth, how they're choosing to, you know, raise their babies and all these different routines. And then just kind of like taking it in. And then after wedding and during our honeymoon, it was crazy. There was like a switch in me where I was like, okay, I'm ready to dive into like, what do I actually want to do? And let's actually start doing some research into the things that piqued my interest.
Right.
Because it was just a whole new world. I never really paid attention to any kind of motherhood content at all. And so, yeah. So I was following, this was my first step. This is really funny, but I was following this Montessori kid on TikTok. Love him. He's adorable. He makes his own breakfast. And I've sent you a few of his video. I don't think he has red hair. I think it's blondish. And he speaks like three languages.
Oh, I love it. I follow this little this sounds so weird. I follow this toddler. That sounds very creepy. But I watch the content that his parents post for him. And yeah, Montessori, he has like red hair. He's from the UK, so he's English. And he makes breakfast in the mornings. Oh. And I'm like, he's like three?
Yes. Yes, it's the same age.
So
they're amazing. This kid like does the egg with one hand and does his own cleanup and runs a little vacuum afterwards. And so I was very interested by that because I'm like, wow, like he seems very confident in himself. And I also love the language that she was using when he would like spill something. And, you know, it's just like I was just not raised that way. Like if you spill something, it's like, oh no, like I gotta, you know, why would you do this? So anyway, so I feel like I need to work on some of that rewiring. And so during our honeymoon, I really went for like a digital detox and I got my Kindle and I bought a Montessori baby book and I read about 50, 75% of it and still working on it. Super interesting, really great stuff of just from zero to one is the book of from, yeah, birth experience when you bring them home, the things that babies are just naturally wired to do that sometimes we try to manipulate a lot, and then the things that can help with independence. And then it was really interesting because there was some things in there as well that I was like, you know what, that doesn't resonate. Like I don't feel comfortable with that. I want to have like my doctors there and all these different things. So I'm in the research phase for sure. Another thing is I'm deep into the pelvic floor exercises. I was already because that's what helped me heal my back pain in the past year. That was caused by all my camera gear. And then now as I've learned more about labor and recovery post-labor, I've learned how much more that whole area is huge. So I've just really been continuing the exercises that my PT gave me, but in a pregnancy safe way where I'm not like smashing the baby, of course. And it's really helpful. I notice my hips hurt less the days that I actually do them. So that's been good, getting into walking and lifting. And then I just want to start doing some researching for classes for giving birth naturally. I think that's the route that I want to take. My mom had almost all of us naturally. And she mentioned how she took a class that really helped her with basically connecting your pelvic floor with your breathing, with contractions, like all of that. And just to take it and see how I feel. And if I choose to not do it all natural, then that's another skill set I have in my tool belt for labor. And if I do, then I'm ready. So looking into that. And then I really have loved this podcast.
When you say natural, do you mean unmedicated?
Sorry, yes, unmedicated.
Okay. I was just curious. I was like, didn't know which direction. Yeah. Okay.
And if it ends up being vaginal, you know, maybe I end up having needing to do a C-section. And then I ran into this podcast called The Birth Experience with Labor Nurse Mama. And really loved it. Very digestible information. Like some of the podcasts are 10 to 15 minutes. And she really breaks it down from months that the babies are or like pre-labor prep. Like all of these different specific topics that you can really dive into. And so that's been really helpful where I'm at now to not make things overwhelming. And my last one under prepping for motherhood is reducing my doom scroll on social media. That has been upped a lot. Honestly, because of my first trimester, I was feeling so sick and I didn't have the energy for anything besides just watching TV and like doom scrolling, that now I'm really struggling with breaking that habit. Mm-hmm. And as I'm intentionally thinking about motherhood, I'm like, I don't want my baby to see me doom scrolling, you know, and just have a screen all the time. And I'm thinking about nursing too and how that's going to go. And like, I don't want to doom scroll every time that I'm nursing. So like how can I start integrating some habits now that still feel disconnecting, like maybe reading a fun book or something else without it being TikTok? So that's where I'm at.
I love that. It's always important to like think through what you want. And I think that there's an aspect of whenever you're like me, like we weren't necessarily in this world or like took in a lot of content about this world in this, you know, chapter of life. And so it's like, it's helpful to get a lot of like, you could do it this way and this way and this way and this, this. But like, there is a point where we have to stop digesting information and all the different ways and scenarios and figure out like, okay, now that I do know these are my options or these are the different possibilities, what is it that I want? And I think it's cool to see us both get to that point where we're like figuring out what we want for our birth plan and even like sources that we're getting information, and same with doom scrolling. Like literally this morning, it's like something popped up in my feed and I was like, oh, I should not have seen that, like pertaining to birth. And it's like, it's just like trying to protect your peace and being really mindful of that. And to your point, like, I don't want to be doom scrolling every time I'm breastfeeding or feeding them, because I'm just like, how is that filling my cup in any way, shape, or form? So I really applaud you for being mindful about that. And I need to do better in that category too.
I'll keep you all posted.
please do. Okay. Career. So I'm kind of going to talk about like now until babies are born, and then I'll talk about some postpartum care here in a little bit. But I think one of my, and I talked about this on the podcast that Astrid interviewed me in back in July, whenever I found out I was pregnant, is how postpartum / maternity leave / having kids in general would impact my career. And it's been amazing and also just so affirming that I work for such a fantastic company at Circle, because I feel very supported in my mat leave. I feel very supported in the amount of time that I've chosen to take away from work and in the prep of that as well. So I'm planning on taking 4 months of maternity leave. With twins, it is quite difficult for me to be like, this is my due date, and this is when I'm going to go and be on mat leave. I don't know that. And so I'm really spending the next several weeks starting to prep and plan that out, so that if it happened at any time, like, here's what needs to happen in order to move things forward. Because I know that if I were to go into labor early or anything along those lines, the last thing I'm going to be thinking about is work, rightfully so. And so I'm in the stage now where I'm starting to prep for that. But one of the biggest things that has been really helpful is when I came to my leadership team and let them know I was pregnant, there was this really natural conversation around my capacity already of like, you already do so many different things and you're over so many different projects and initiatives. We think that it's time that you start growing a team to help run the partnerships function at Circle, which was so lovely to hear. And so we ended up hiring a brand experiences manager to help us grow out all of our IRL events, which means I will not be traveling near as much next year on behalf of work. This is going to be someone else's like core role, growing the events program, scaling it up. We're going to be running our first ever like Circle hosted branded events that, you know, we'll be working together on, but I won't be responsible for being on the ground. You know, I won't be the one that's got to be there in person. And I'm really excited. She's amazing. And I'm excited to grow that part of the program. And then also hiring someone to help with partnerships as well. So really just growing out the team, getting that to a place where I'm not the bottleneck. And so, yeah, if I'm out for 4 months, then that means that the team can still continue to make progress and grow and make movement on a lot of the company's initiatives, even though I'm not there. And then 4 months of mat leave. So Circle gives 3 months and I talked with my boss and he was like, do you want to take more time? Like, where are you at with your mat leave? I want to support however much time you want to take and how much time you need to take. And so with the twins as well, just the extra exciting load that that adds to our life, I'm going to take an additional month of mat leave just for my own PTO because we get really great PTO at my job. So being able to apply that there will really help. And so I think because of these different aspects in preparation for mat leave, I feel like there's still some things I need to figure out in the coming month or so to really get me in a place where I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready. I don't necessarily feel 100% ready right now, but I'm not in my third trimester and I've got some time. But I'm close and it feels like we've starting to get the puzzle pieces in place and we've got the team in place. And so there's lots of good things happening there. So that has been a journey, but one that I feel very lucky to feel this secure in my job and in where the program that I run at Circle is going to go without me there.
Yeah.
And just really, helping my team feel very empowered and confident. And yeah, like they're going to kill it without me and not feeling like, oh my God, I have to be the one to be there. Like I have to be the one to go on the trip. I have to be the one to, and I think that's like what stepping into leadership is you're really stepping back in a way and lifting up your team and like cheerleading them as they move forward and taking on different functions that you used to run. And that's exciting. So yeah, that's me. What about you?
Well, I just seriously love the perfect timing of everything and how it's evolved. And I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that because you've worked so hard in your career to grow it to where it's at. And it's just beautiful to see the twins coming at such a great time where you're able to grow the team, you're able to get that support. And yeah, it's just like this beautiful ebb and flow into the next season of life that in a sense, the twins help trigger that and be like, okay, what's that next step forward in your career? And that's just so beautiful to witness. I remember having those conversations in Mallorca and I'm like, this is going to be great. This is going to be so great for you.
And in France too, I was like I was back at work and I was telling my leadership team and I was like, this actually went really well. And I feel very grateful because that's not everybody's experience. And it's just very, very affirming that I work at a fantastic company and I'm really glad that I get to be a part of that team. Because I feel like you're going through a really big life change. And so you want to be with a team that like understands that and is like, yeah, go do what you need to do. And we got everything covered here and we can't wait for you to get back, but there's not like this pressure. And I really appreciate that. So what about you? How are you prepping for mat leave? You've talked a little bit about it in preparation for next year, but curious, like how you're prepping for your 3 months off.
Yeah. Honestly, this was one of the first things I thought about as soon as I got pregnant because with Wedding World, you're booked already for the following year. And immediately I was looking at the calendar and like, what couples do I have booked already that I'm going to have to start thinking about associate, you know, moving things around. And so that I would say it has been the hardest part because I did have two big weddings in May that land within my maternity leave that quote unquote, I could push myself to, but one, I wouldn't do that to my body, but two, I wouldn't do that to my couple. Like they deserve more. They deserve someone that's going to be there 100%. And I can't guarantee that I can do that for them. And that was like a hard moment of acknowledgement and also just respecting them enough to be like, this is what I think we should do. And so, thankfully, I also feel like baby's coming at the perfect time because winter is pretty slow for me. And so January through March, I only had one wedding and that's all I had in the books. And then March through July, which will be my maternity leave, I'll come back in July. I had four weddings, that were all – it was doable to just move things around. And so because of that timing, I'll kind of end up being at a 6-month maternity leave. And my last wedding is in November, and my next one won't be until July of next year. So yeah, lots of mixed emotions with that. Like, part of it is, wow, what a blessing that I get to really relax into my third trimester and just let baby do what baby needs to do. And then on the flip side, it's like, wow, I'm not going to shoot a wedding for 6 months. Like, am I going to be okay coming back into it in July? Like, what is that going to look like and feel like? Yeah. So right now, really, the first step was thinking through how to associate some of those weddings. Second step was, once I hit the 12 weeks, that's when I started communicating with clients. I decided to fully cancel the Italy wedding that I had in June. It was just not going to be possible for me to do that, nor did I want to associate shoot it. It was just, it's a lot to get up to the Dolomites. And then the other weddings, one of the couples fully wanted to move on with associates, and the other two, I'm still pending on hearing back from them, but it seems like they want to move forward with that. So it's that stage of life, as well as you are navigating, like, just really trusting your team, trusting the preparation, and just feeling really grateful that I decided to start the team when I did, because we navigated all those learning curves many times ago. And then now it feels very smooth. And as the business has grown into like a new bracket of weddings, I feel like I can fully trust them to deliver on what those weddings require. Mm-hmm. So just in the middle of prepping for that, I also had a hard learning lesson in the first trimester that I'm going to carry into my maternity leave, which was keeping up with emails. That was really, really hard for me. I was like 100 inquiries deep within 6 weeks of just being super sick. And I lost a lot of business and a lot of income because of it. And it's just part of it. People inquire with a lot of other photographers and they move on. But it was a good lesson to think on, okay, well, next year, how am I going to set that up if I'm going to be out? Because then that impacts my income for a year from then. And so I'm going to be hiring an operations contractor for, I think, only the first month that I'm on maternity leave, just for her to respond to those emails. And then within that month, I'll just have one day that I'll do just lots of batch calls for anyone that's interested in booking. And then I think after that, on my second month of maternity leave, I will just like once a week catch up on emails, and that's it. I'll still have like an out of office. So it'll be like, I guess, not a full maternity leave, but basically. But that's like the interesting part of being a business owner, is just thinking of that income aspect. And I will have a lot of support, and I do feel comfortable enough to do that. I will have to edit a bit while I'm on maternity leave because my team is shooting some of those weddings. But yeah, just kind of prepping myself for all of those logistics while also, like, especially that first month being like, no one talked to me. Like, I'm not available. Definitely. Yeah.
Actually, forget I exist.
Yes. Yes, truly.
I also feel like maternity leave is truly one of the few times in life where people don't expect a response from you. But to your point, because you're still having your social team, like, you're active on social because you obviously want to continue to grow inquiries, there's like this side of it where people are like, maybe I shouldn't message her because she's on mat leave. But it's like, to your point, being able to still do some inquiry calls because you're still booking business, you know, for the future. It sounds like you have a good system down, but still protecting your time in that like baby bubble, your first 4 to 6 weeks, and then like introducing things slowly so that you can still, you know, keep the business going and things like that afterwards. But yeah, I'm so glad you built the team when you did.
Like, oh, thank God.
What a blessing.
Yeah, I'd be crying otherwise. And one last thing on that note, if there's anyone listening that's a business owner and you're a woman that wants to take maternity leave as a business owner, like really focusing in on your business's finances and at least having 3 to 6 months of savings where if you were to get pregnant, can you take that maternity leave? Mm-hmm. And that was something that I have had in place for about 2 years now. And that's the only reason why I can. Otherwise, I would probably be taking a way more reduced maternity leave and probably working a lot more up to like that last month as well. And sometimes you just don't think about it as a business owner more long term of like, I might want to have a family next year, or I'm in a committed relationship and that's something that might happen as well. So yeah, just food for thought.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about postpartum care. So this is something I have spent a lot of time thinking about. I've spent a great deal thinking about postpartum care. One of the biggest things I took away from learning from different moms on social media is them mentioning like, I prepped so much for the baby and prepped the nursery and prepped all the things, but I didn't prep for me. I didn't prep postpartum for me because I am now not the sole caretaker, but like I am now part of taking care of this baby. And I prep so much for baby that I didn't prep for the fact that I am now a caregiver. And so my rest, my nutrition, my XYZ needs to be in a place where I can actually take care of this baby. Mm-hmm. So that was really eye-opening for me and insightful. And so I really took that to heart and started thinking about ways I can make postpartum easier for Matthew and I. And I am so grateful. He gets 2 months of paid paternity leave.
Wow.
Which is incredible. Yeah. So the first 2 months with the twins, we'll be together and we'll be in those newborn trenches together, figuring it out. I will have my person there, and that feels, I can't even tell you how just more prepared I feel knowing that I'll have somebody with me. Not like I have two newborns. It's like he gets a week, you know, and then I'm like, all right, well, I have two-week-olds. What do I do? You know, so I'm very excited to have him there. So
yeah,
a few things that we're doing to prep for postpartum is we late into November, early December are going to start doing freezer meals. And I've already started saving loads of recipes, and we want to have 4 to 6 weeks of freezer meals ready to go. Freezer meals can stay in the freezer up to about like 3 to 4 months, depending on the recipe. Mm. And so I can't, there's almost like, I can't start doing that now because I want to make sure that the food is obviously still good and all of that once the kids are here. So loads of crock pot meals and casseroles and lactation balls and like just trying to figure out different things that I'll need nutritionally. But because I do plan on breastfeeding, hopefully I will need a lot of calorie intake. And so just preparing meals that will give that to me so that I can hopefully build up my supply and feed two babies, but also planning on supplementing with formula for a while as I build up my supply. But that's one big thing. The other thing is just nesting, but not doing stressful nesting. Like, I don't need everything to be perfect. I do want things to be relatively pretty organized because when they do come home and we bring them home from the hospital, I know that that's going to feel so exciting, but it can also feel a little overwhelming. And so by having the kids' room together, having the twin bassinet and our room put together, having our diaper carts. So a lot of you guys don't know, obviously, the house that we live in because you haven't been to my house, but we have two floors and we have two pretty like significant living floors. So on the main floor is our living room and our kitchen and dining room. And then on the top floor is all of our living space, all of our bedrooms, bathrooms. So think about this. You've got two newborns. You need to change their diapers and all their diapers are upstairs. So you've got to like pick them up, take them upstairs, change them. So we are doing two different changing stations. We're going to have a changing station upstairs with a diaper cart, and then we're having a changing station downstairs with a diaper cart so that it's just really easy and really accessible. And then I'm going to have a little diaper tote that I bring with me anywhere else I might need it, just to have those things like on hand, because I do have to have my eyes on my kids. And so I'm not thinking about like, oh yeah, I don't have my wipes. They're upstairs. It's like, no, really feeling very prepared with that. And then also setting up a postpartum cart for myself in my little bedside table, and then by the toilet for my own, like, you know, like girly care after we give birth, whichever way that decides to happen. And then also preparing our families. So we've spoken to both of our families about our birth plan and the ideal kind of like schedule, if you will, in terms of how, you know, when we want them to come to Houston and how long we'd like for them to be in Houston. And so just talking through those different things with our families, seeing if that's something that they want to do, if that's something that they can do. Can they take time off work to support us in that way? You know, we don't have family here. We have a very, very small village of folks. And so being able to prepare our families months in advance of these are the ways that we would love, you know, for you to come down and support us if that's possible, right? There's no expectation there, but the sooner that we could tell them that, the better. And so we've had those discussions and really want to feel supported through that with them. And so just, you know, working with my parents and Matthew's parents, and then also some friends have offered to come down when the kids are like, oh, I don't know, like a little bit older, like 6 to 8 weeks, you know, coming down for a long weekend and just helping. And I think I will need that too, just to like see some friends and have that time. And then something I've been doing a lot of research on that I'm really interested in, because I don't know what my postpartum recovery is going to be like, because so much of those decisions are going to be based on the kids' positioning. If both of the kids are breech, which means their heads are up towards my, you know, top of half of my body and their feet are down, I can't deliver vaginally. It's not even an option for me. So I've really been doing a lot of acceptance work on letting go of the type of birth that I want and really figuring out there are things that are in my control of like, I want to do an epidural or I don't want to do an epidural, or I am doing an epidural, especially if, well, with a C-section, you have to have an epidural. So there's like certain things that I've had to come to terms with, that if this was a singleton pregnancy, maybe I would do things differently. But because this is twins, I need to be very prepared for a lot of different types of scenarios. Mm-hmm. And so just creating our birth plan, talking through that with Matthew, and I, you know, we actually have a list of questions that we're going to go through here soon of like, if this happens in the hospital, how do I want him to handle it? Because he is going to be my mouthpiece, my advocate, and also like all communication flows through Matthew. So any decision that's being made about me and my body or the kid's body, and I'm on medication and I can't be there to talk through it, I want us to feel prepared that he knows what's going on and he can advocate for me and be my medical advocate. So that was really important for us to talk through. And then also postpartum. So the first couple of weeks, I also want all communication to flow through Matthew, because I don't want to be coordinating anything with anybody at all. Like my mental load can't handle it. And I mean, I'll get back to everybody, but like, that's just not something I want to be focused on. That's something I want him to manage. Yeah. So he's like our house manager and just managing all comms and all planning, which I appreciate that for him. So I want to try something called the 5-5-5 method, which is 5 days in bed, meaning that I am mostly in bed. I'm doing very minimal movement except for the bathroom hygiene and feeding, depending on the severity of my birth and whatever my recovery looks like. And then 5 days on the bed, which is you're spending most time on or near your bed. So I'm sitting up, we're doing seated activities, reading, interacting with baby, playtime, all of that, having visitors. And then the last 5 days is 5 days around the bed, which is moving around the room, taking some short walks up here in the top floor of the house, doing some light tasks, avoiding long standing and heavy chores and obviously stairs. So if I have a C-section in particular, I can't and should not be up and down stairs. Mm-hmm. And our bedroom is on the second floor. So my dad was the one that brought that up. He was like, oh, if you have a C-section, like, how are you going to get downstairs? Like, we'll bring you your food. He was like starting to kind of think through that. And he was like, okay, we'll deliver all your meals to you. Like, we'll obviously help you with the kids, but like getting in and out of bed, getting in the kids out of a bassinet. Like, there are certain things that are harder for recovery if you have a cesarean versus if you have a vaginal birth. So that's been really helpful to start to plan out so that I feel like I'm rested and also want my milk to come in. I'm not stressed. I'm keeping things very, very like low key, mm-hmm. because I know that that's going to impact the way that I'm able to show up and take care of my babies. So mm-hmm. That's actually a very popular midwife method. And so I've been like, that's been really cool. Even though I don't have a midwife, I'm like, I like that. I like the, like, in different cultures, yeah. women don't do anything yeah. after the baby's born for,
it's
like
40 days in a lot of cultures. Yeah. yeah.
So I like, how can I build a portion of that in to my postpartum plan? And then the last piece is having an in-home nanny. And so starting to introduce month 4 of my mat leave, starting to introduce the in-home nanny. We're going to go through an agency. We went back and forth on if we wanted to do daycare or an in-home nanny. And also with 2 kids, pricing for daycare is very, very similar to an in-home nanny. So we decided that we would rather have that, breastfeeding with the kids just easier, and then having them in the house for a little bit longer, keeping their immune systems pretty strong and hopefully kind of untouched in a way, especially when they're so young. And with twins, their immune systems are just a little bit different. And so just giving them some more time to be at home with us. And that's the current plan. So I feel like even just talking through this, me 2 months ago would not have had any figured out. And it just feels so nice.
Yeah. And also just like letting things happen when they need to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like that's one of my biggest lessons so far into motherhood, is every mother's journey is so different and everyone's navigating such different life scenarios that you're able to just let things evolve when they need to. Some people are planning like from the first month and some people aren't planning till the third trimester, and that's okay. Like you're able to figure out what you need for your body and your family at the right time when you have the mental capacity for it. So
totally.
I'm learning so much from you. I don't have a lot of postpartum care lined up.
I'm also, I'm two months like further than you. So
yeah,
that's totally normal. Take all the time you need to figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. On my end, honestly,
I love that you have postpartum care. Mom.
Basically, my plan is just to have my mom.
Honestly, same. I'm like, I will take you for as long as you will literally live in my house with me.
Yeah. Well, and also in our culture, so interesting that you brought that up. In our culture, women rest for 40 days. That's like it comes from the Bible. Like in the Bible, they made women rest 40 days as well. And my mom also had my grandma really take care of her whenever she had all of us. And so she has all these like soups recipes that are specific for helping you heal as a woman. So it's like a lot of bone broth soups, a lot of like very specific healing soups, and then very specific recipes for breastfeeding and like oatmeal and all that kind of stuff. And I was telling her about doing freezer meals, and she's like, yeah, that's great and everything. She's like, but I'm making you your soup and you're drinking that no matter what. Just a Hispanic mom thing.
Tell her I want the recipe, please.
Yes.
Because I'm sure you can make it in advance and freeze it.
Yes.
And then heat it up. Yeah.
Yes. I will absolutely get that for you. So yeah, I feel very grateful that she has offered. I think that's another aspect too. Right now, it's like knowing that we need to ask for very specific help. It's like another mental load part. So when someone just offers and is like, hey, I'm going to do this for you. If you don't want it, let me know. But otherwise, like, I'm just going to make all your meals. Mm-hmm. And my mom's very specific about fresh food too. And she's like, you don't need to do that. I'll make you food every day. I'm like, okay, thank you. We still will, because she's not going to be making all our meals every day. But yeah, so that's been really nice to talk through with her, like what was her experience? And then also learning from other friends that have had babies, like what was your postpartum experience as well? I recently got some really great advice from a friend that said, my number one advice to you, Astrid, is the more calm that you remain, just remember that your baby will absorb every bit of your emotions and that will impact your experience so much. And she's like, I have had two very, very calm babies. And I swear it's because I focused on being relaxed when I had kids. And I'm like, okay, so.
Amen.
Yeah. So I'm starting to now think through like, what are things that would stress me out? And I'm like, okay, so maybe we can get like a visitor schedule lined up and, you know, maybe we should get like someone to come and clean the house every 2 weeks or something. Cause I want Nick to help me with other stuff, you know, rather than like clean the house. And he only gets one week of paternity or 1 week that he can take PTO for paternity. So that's like the very hard part right now that we're trying to figure out for postpartum. Like, what does that look like? He wants to be very involved and at the same time understanding that he's also going to be at work the next day. What does that look like? I don't know. I need to talk to more moms and do more research on husbands that went back to work right away. Like, what did that support look like? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I'm in that middle of research with postpartum. And of course, I mentioned like just like the body aspect of really getting a strong pelvic floor for that as well. And then the other aspect is like how to childcare in general. Like we started really thinking through that, and we're very fortunate to have help around. And so what I think that we'll lean into is our parents. And so far my mom has offered to help. We'll see if we'll have some other family members help as well. But the overall plan is baby will be at least for the first year of their life. They're going to be with some kind of family member as a primary daycare solution. And yeah, it's very nice. I live like 3 minutes away from my mom. So hopefully I can go to her house to nurse and be able to see baby in the middle of the day and just very flexible schedule. And then I'm adjusting my work schedule to 4 days a week and then being able to have that Friday with baby, especially if I'm going to be working on a Saturday wedding. I want to be able to have kind of like a weekend with him. So yeah, that's pretty much like where I'm just now starting my postpartum like research of food and how women have recovered from like all of their wounds and everything. So I'll let y'all know what I decide. And learning from you, you had a great layout. I'm going to copy paste some of that.
Yes, I'm glad that you brought up the piece around, and I've had a few people mention that as well. Your kids, your babies will absorb your energy and they'll feed off of it. And so just thinking around what is going to help you keep, you know, the stress low, keep your cortisol levels low, and really keeping your house in a place that feels very calm to you will definitely impact their emotions as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's so much that I still have to learn. I am not an expert in any way, but I think that the biggest thing is like really learning what's best for you and your family. And so I've even had moms that have talked to me about breastfeeding. They're like, hey, the moment that this doesn't work for you have to do something else for yourself, because if it's not working for you, it's not working for the family.
Yeah.
And like a lot of times you'll like sacrifice yourself for what you think is best for your baby, but it's deteriorating your mental health. Mm-hmm. And I've had lots of moms talk to me about that, of like, I breastfed for 2 or 3 months longer than I should have, and it really hurt my mental health because I thought that's what was best. And then I ended up being in like a mental hole because of it. And they were just like, as soon as you start to feel those feelings of being done, or it's really negatively impacting your mental health, then you need to listen to yourself and look at other options, or can you supplement, or do you want to be done breastfeeding? So there's so many opinions on what to do. This is what your postpartum should look like. This is if you should breastfeed or formula. You know, you're going to have a vaginal birth or cesarean, unmedicated or medicated. Like there's so many ways to choose different paths. And I think it's really important to listen to yourself and to know what it is that you want and to have conviction around that. And also recognize that it's going to be different for everybody. And I'm learning this too from some of my mom friends. The way that you go in thinking this is the plan, it's not how it ends up taking shape. And so they were just mentioning to me, like, have plans that you hold very, very loosely, because your ability to adapt and be flexible with those based on what's best for your family or your health or baby's health is like the key. And so while like you feel confident, you want to have this plan and you've got this lined out, sometimes that's not actually what happens. And mm-hmm. can you be adaptable in that way? And can you not hold yourself to this like standard of like, well, this was my plan and it's not working. It's like, okay, well, here are all these other options that we can look at now. And so just having that kind of flexibility that you and I both have in our careers. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do we apply that kind of mindset to, okay, this was our plan for the quarter. Not that I'm like, you know, give me a break here, but like,
they're not goals, but yeah.
This was my goal. This was my plan for the quarter. And here's how we have to adjust. Okay. The same kind of mindset can be applied to taking care of a baby. And like, this was my plan for birth, or this was my plan for how I wanted to feed them. And it's not going to the way I wanted it to. Okay. Let's pivot. Yeah. So I've been trying to practice a lot of pre-compassion and like pre-grace with myself, because I know that I'm going to need it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to just like give myself that like, hey, it's okay. It didn't work out. That's fine. Like, yeah, onto the next option.
Yeah. And isn't it crazy how this process of being pregnant also prepares you even on that mindset aspect? Because I know that both of us have navigated learning to give ourselves a lot more grace in this season, learning to juggle a lot of things at once, mm-hmm. learning how to just prioritize what's absolutely urgent versus what's important, like all of those things that are now going to help us so much for that moment of postpartum where we have to pivot, we have to give ourselves grace, we have to be okay with, hey, I haven't responded to you in 2 months and I'm focused on my family and I don't feel bad about it. Like, I'm out and I'm done. Yeah. And then the last thing I was going to mention is just how beautiful it is that throughout our conversation, we have both referenced back how some other mom gave us information that has been so impactful for us. And I just feel very, very grateful to be a mom now in a generation of women that truly want to help each other. And I have not encountered like any bad experiences or any bad unsolicited advice from people my age. Very specific.
She goes, people in this generation. talk to me. I hear you.
But it's just amazing. I really mm-hmm. I've gotten so many sweet messages from people since I announced, and I've gotten so much great information that has made me feel more at ease and more prepared than just deep diving into a TikTok series, which is, you know, helpful on its own. So just shout out to all the moms out there with your careers, your businesses, or whether you're doing it full time, like learning from all of your experiences is so helpful to all of us that are just now in the starting journey. And I'm just so excited that we get to do this together. Like, who would have thought at the beginning of this year we would be having a podcast about motherhood and our both of our maternity leaves? It's wild, but I love it.
It is. It's perfect. I feel so grateful to, like, I see moms with their little babies or like little toddlers, and they're doing different things together as best friends. It just makes me so happy because I know that I get to experience that with you. And yeah, it's just beautiful. I've also been sending Astrid like a lot of boy, if you've been noticing that.
I've been
sending her a lot of like boy, toddler, like little kid outfits.
I love it.
I'm like obsessed with kid style right now. It's mm-hmm. so fun. I love the way that Tezza dresses her kids. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that JC Marie Smith dresses her daughter, Benny.
Yes.
Like, there's like certain moms that like they have this eye, and I'm like, ooh, I love that.
Yeah. So it makes me excited. I have a little Pinterest board already for baby boy.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. It's going to be cute. So fun.
I love it. Well, thank you for joining this episode. I hope this was helpful and just like fun. I mean, we're just kind of giving you kind of a real off the cuff updates around different ways that we're navigating motherhood, postpartum, and maternity leave. But if you have any questions for us or you have any topics you'd like us to discuss, let me know. And obviously, you know, starting in late December, we'll be taking a hiatus from the show. So I'll be on maternity leave for a couple months, and then Astrid will be on maternity leave towards the end or kind of middle of mine. And so we'll be taking, you know, almost the first half of next year off from the pod, and we're going to miss you so much. But just know that we'll be thinking of you, obviously, and we want to keep, you know, creating some content leading up to Christmas. And if you have anything that you'd like us to discuss, we would love to hear it. You can always message us at inbetween.pod on Instagram, and you can always connect with me personally at Alexis Teichmiller.
And you can connect with me at Astra Johanna Photo. We'll talk to you next time.